I'm kind of excited about this sermon. I mean, they're all fun to give, but this one is in particular fun because I hadn't a clue what I was going to preach about. And it was about 10:07 yesterday morning, and I'm sitting with three of our youths and not having the sermon idea yet. I thought, let me throw it out to the kiddos. And I said, hey, is there a Bible story you want to learn about or a topic that you would like to learn about? As contemplation set in, there were shrugs, I don't knows. And then naturally, we integrated the movie Wild Robot into the conversation. It took a minute to get there, but the kids were on it. And so this is inspired by them. One of the messages they got out of the movie at movie night was, you can be more than you are programmed to be. They tied it back for me to the Bible asking, is there someone in the Bible like that? Someone that learned, someone that grew, that became more than what they started out being. I also received that report that the robot was kind to others during the process of growth. So I said, challenge accepted. So I went home, I sat down, and I'm not joking, I flipped open the Bible just randomly as I said, okay, God, let's do this. And I looked down, and there was the name Philip. It was in the title of the section starting at Acts 8:26. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. This Philip is not the disciple called by Jesus. This Philip first appears on the scene to us in the Bible in Acts 6:1-7, when seven people were chosen to support the disciples to care for the people's needs by running the food program. You may remember a couple weeks ago, Pastor Jamie talked about these scriptures when we installed Deacon Pam as deacon of the church. So we pick up Philip. We're going to learn about Philip here. Chapter 6 of Acts 1-7. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. The Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. They said, "We apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select seven men who are well-respected and are full of the spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word." Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following: Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Spirit; Philip, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas of Antioch, an earlier convert to the Jewish faith. These seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. So God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. What we know about Philip in these first mentionings of him is that Philip was well respected and full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. He is given responsibility with the other six chosen to run the food program, given us that these seven were successful in running that food program. I take this in how the food program was run also. It was run in a way in which people could see Christ in them as well. And so it balanced as the apostles went off and were able to focus more on teaching and leading, that it didn't really change how it was being ran, except maybe even better, because hopefully it doesn't say, but because of the great change and the great numbers increasing, I would think that the concern about the discrimination probably was mitigated. So what happens next before we get to 8? Acts 7 talks more about Stephen. Remember Stephen? He was one of the seven chosen as well. Stephen is arrested. He speaks truth to the council after being arrested. In amongst that great grand speech, he calls them stubborn and heathens of the heart. This, of course, led them to taking Stephen out into the streets and killing him as Saul watched on in agreement. here's what happens next in 8. This is going to be a little lengthy one. I'm going to read the whole chapter because this is the bulk of Philip. So Saul witnesses, he agrees complete with the killing of Stephen, and then now a great wave of persecution happens, and this is where we pick up. A great wave of persecution began that day, sweeping over the church in Jerusalem, and all the believers except the apostles were scattered through the region of Judea and Samaria. Some devout men came and buried Stephen with great mourning. But Saul was going everywhere to destroy the church. He went from house to house, dragging out both men and women to throw them into prison. But the believers who were scattered and preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. Philip, for example, went to the city of Samaria and told the people there about the Messiah. Crowds listened intently to Philip because they were eager to hear his message and see the miraculous signs he did. Many evil spirits were cast out, screaming as they left their victims, and many who had been paralyzed or lame were healed. So there was great joy in the city of Samaria. A man named Simon had been a sorcerer there for many years, amazing the people of Samaria and claiming to be someone great. Everyone from the least to the greatest often spoke of him as the Great One, the power of God. They listened closely to him because for a long time he had astounded them with his magic. But now the people believe Philip's message of good news concerning the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus Christ. As a result, many men and women were baptized. Then Simon himself believed and was baptized. He began following Philip wherever he went, and he was amazed by the signs and great miracles Philip performed. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands upon these believers, and they received the Holy Spirit. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given when the apostles laid their hands on people, he offered them money to buy this power. "Let me have this power too," he exclaimed, "so that when I lay my hands on people, they will receive the Holy Spirit." But Peter replied, "May your money be destroyed with you for thinking God's gift can be bought. You can have no part in this, for your heart is not right with God. Repent of all of your wickedness and pray to the Lord. Perhaps he will forgive your evil thoughts. For I can see that you are full of bitter jealousy and are held captive by sin." "Pray to the Lord for me," Simon explained, "that these terrible things you have said won't happen to me." There's a whole sermon there, but we're gonna put a pin in that one. After testifying and preaching the word of the Lord in Samaria, Peter and John returned to Jerusalem, and they stopped in many Samaritan villages along the way to preach the good news. As for Philip, remember Philip? We're talking about Philip today. An angel of the Lord said to him, "Go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Candace, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk beside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Philip said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" The man replied, "How can I, unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come into the carriage and sit with him. The passage of scripture he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb is silent before the shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was this prophet talking about himself or someone else?" So beginning with this same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. As they rode along, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized?" He ordered the carriage to stop, and they went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away. The eunuch never saw him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Meanwhile, Philip found himself farther north at the town of Azotus. He preached the good news there and in every town along the way until he came to Sisera. Philip goes to Samaria. Remember the Samaritans? Outcasts. Oh, the Samaritans. They were outcast by the Jews for a couple, for many reasons, but a couple big ones was they married outside the Jewish community, and they worshipped at a different place. The wrong place. Arr. Jews would go out of their way to not pass through Samaria. They'd be like, you know what? Let's take another, add another day's journey on that. We'd like to go around Samaria. They would literally do that. You know who didn't go around Samaria? Philip, but also Jesus. Jesus went right through Samaria. He talked to the Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus, who now goes there is Philip to tell the people about the Messiah. Philip, the believer, the unnamed believer at the very beginning. Philip, the respected and filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom, chosen to lead the food program, is now the evangelist? Can it be? Can he be more? The speaker of God's word, doing miraculous signs in the name of Jesus, got so much attention that it got all the way back to Jerusalem, and the two big head honchos, Peter and John, had to come see for themselves. Check this out. And then they also did work in Samaria and didn't stop there, but then visited other Samaritan villages on their way back to Jerusalem. Look at Philip influencing Peter and John, the rock and the one whom Jesus loved. Look at Philip being more. So now we go into 21:8. The next day we went to Sisera, and this is Paul speaking, and stayed at the home of Philip the evangelist. Look at, now Philip has a name. He's got a little title going on here. Philip the evangelist, one of the seven men who had been chosen to distribute food. He had four unmarried daughters who had the gift of prophecy. Several days later, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. So all these people are now descending at Philip's house in Sisera. So now our Philip is hearing directly from angels. Previously, he's getting instructions on where to serve, where to go next. He's guided by the Holy Spirit. He ministers to the Ethiopian responsible for the treasury. Can you imagine the ripple effect when the Ethiopian got back to his country? Philip now adding to the moreness, that's the new word, the moreness, becomes a teacher with the Ethiopian. He becomes a baptizer with the Ethiopian. Then Philip is snatched by the Holy Spirit and placed in yet another city, Azotus. Azotus, it's an ancient Philistine capital that was like on the water, so there's a hodgepodge of people living there. Philip started out a believer, an unnamed believer, is now being transported by the Holy Spirit. Talk about becoming more than what you first thought you were programmed to be. The last time where we hear Philip in the Bible is Acts 21:8-10, as we read, when he and his daughters host Paul and others with him now in Caesarea. Caesarea is a Roman port city and capital of the Roman province of Judea at this time, a multi-ethnic city. Philip landing in a place where I imagine he continued to minister in whatever way God called him. How appropriate for him to end there with how he started, and he moved to Samaria, ministered to an Ethiopian, went to another hodgepodge city, Azotus, and then ends at Sisera. Here's the punchline, church. You can become more than you think you can. I'm going to set that in one more time so it settles. You can become more than you think you can. Let that settle for my limiters out there. You become more and more in Christ as you journey towards spiritual enrichment and growth. I think as a caterpillar, we grow into who we are. And for those on Facebook, what I put on the slide, typically we have an open Bible, but instead I put the stages of a caterpillar becoming a butterfly. When we talk about change here at church, because we talk a lot about changing, and I want to be very clear, it's not about being a different you than who you are. As you, we all are made in God's image. Each and every one of us are made in God's image. And for a reminder, you're beautifully and wonderfully made from the very beginning. So when we talk about change, it's growing. It's not becoming something completely different. It's growing into who we are as we mature in our faith walk. That's what we talk about change. It's not completely change who you are. It's growing into more of who you are in Christ is what we're talking about whenever we talk about change here at this church. As we say yes to God and we put that practice in place, you might get a little uncomfortable, but you grow and you become more of who you are in Christ. We become more because Christ is more. So when we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and the Holy Spirit rests upon us, more is an understatement that occurs. The programming, if you will, the placement in a box is this world. That's not God. The world may say, you were born this, and so all you will ever be is this. That is not of God. The world might say, you failed at that one thing that one time, so you can never be that. That is not from God. That's bogus, church. Church, you are more, and as we grow and say yes, you become more again and again and again as Jesus shines through you, as Jesus shone through Philip. Remember Philip? The unnamed believer who, as he continually said yes, he came over the food program. He continually said yes. He saved people in Samaria. He said yes. He helped an Ethiopian understand what he was yearning to understand. Philip, the unnamed believer who became a named, respected, spirit-filled, wise leader of the food program, who became an evangelist, who became a healer, who became a teacher, who became a baptizer, who became a host of the other workers of Christ, and a father of four prophets. I could imagine Saul, who became Paul, also a Mornus story. Traveling all around, weary. Where do you want to stay when you're weary? At a solace. Could you imagine Paul coming and seeking out your place to stay, to get refreshed? Remember at the very beginning, Philip was well respected, full of wisdom and the Holy Spirit. So there he also became more. He was also him the whole time. Who have you become on your walk? Where have you grown in your walk? Think about where you have come from. Let's be thankful for that. Let's focus on where we are, because as you live in this moment following God, the more will come. We don't have to worry about the more. Did we ever hear in here that Philip's like, well, I'm out of the food pantry, but where am I going to go next? No. It just talks about he's in the food program, then they were scattered, and then he's in Samaria. Be thankful for where you've come, where you are now, and just say yes when God guides you. When it comes to God, be an opportunist. When the opportunity presents itself, go for it. And remember, God's going to speak to you in all different ways. God spoke to Philip in a whole bunch of different ways, right? At the beginning, it's like a group setting. They're having a meeting. They look around, they chose people. Later on, an angel comes and speaks to them. Later on, the Holy Spirit comes to them. What's your story of becoming more than what you think you might have been programmed to be? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this message, God. We thank you so much that you created us as these beautiful, wonderful beings, and we are awesome just the way we are. But man, if we would allow you to guide us, the growth trajectory for any of us, God, is absolutely miraculous because of the indwelling of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit within our beings, God. Help us to say yes to you, God. Help us to not get caught up in whatever we think we were programmed to be, God. But help us to grow. Help us to follow you and listen to you and continue to morph more and more into who we are to be in Christ. In your precious and glorious name we pray. Amen.